For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The NFL draft is 2 days away. Thursday night, the Commanders pick at 29. On Friday, round two, and then Saturday, we go deeper into the weekend with the Commanders, hopefully having moved back at some point and adding some selections, have a new draft class for Adam Peters. Show's brought to you today and every day by our friends, the law firm Kendorian Murrah. They're going to help you to draft your last will and testament, set up a trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a consultation for free with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. If you tell them we sent you, you'll get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, we are joined by Chad Reuter of NFL Network. They provide live coverage on the draft from Green Bay starting Thursday going through Saturday. First-round coverage airs at 8 p.m. East time on Thursday night on NFL Network. Chad, thank you for a few minutes. Do you believe what it seems like we're speculating based on reporting, and that is that really after the first pick or two, this could be one of the most mysterious top tens in a long time?
Yeah, there's a lot of scenarios. You know, it's funny. When you do a mock draft, even a seven-round mock draft, you think of so many scenarios. There's so many different things that can happen. You just have to pick one and run with it. And just because we don't know if the quarterbacks are going to go high or not, we don't know if running back Ashton Jeanty is going to go fourth, even to New England. The offensive tackles may not be top five caliber. Tyler Warren at tight end could go seventh. He could go 13th. I mean, there's a lot of, we know who the top players are, but the order just is not really clear right now.
Where's the biggest variable? In other words, if it's two to Cleveland, then maybe that's the answer. But the thing that could kind of send the most cascading effects down the draft.
I think it would be where Shedeur Sanders ends up, if it's at three to the Giants, six to the Raiders, or if the quarterback doesn't go until nine, maybe to the Saints. I think he's kind of the key to see where they're at and or where how the rest of the top 10 is going to play out.
So it sounds like you think Shedeur Sanders to the Giants at three is still a viable possibility, and then you even talk about six and nine. A lot of what we're hearing from guests at this point is that he's going at the earliest, maybe nine, and probably deeper into the first round. You're not buying that?
Well, I don't think anybody really knows. The thing is, even if somebody with an NFL team tells you that, they're either not interested in that quarterback themselves, so they don't value them as highly as other teams that might, or, you know, it's hard to know what's smokescreen and what's not. So I look for last year, for example. A lot of people refuse to put Bo Nix and Michael Penix in the top 12 of mock drafts. And guess what? Both went there. So, the quarterbacks are very hard to figure out sometimes. It's really such a organizational decision on whether you take a guy, and 30 teams could not consider Jackson Dart a top 10 value, but the New Orleans Saints might. And then they make that pick. So it's really tough to tell. I don't think anybody can really say with any certainty how high these quarterbacks or low these quarterbacks are going to go.
Chad Ruder, NFL Network, with us here on Grant and Danny. What's the best position group in this draft?
I would say defensive tackle. We may not have a ton of them going round one, but you're going to find contributors all the way through day two into day three. You're going to find guys at the end of day three who are going to contribute immediately. It's a really deep group. I think there was 39 at the combine this year, and there's usually like 28, 29, something like that. And then running back would probably be next because, again, you're going to find a lot of day three contributors, and it's a pretty deep group at that position. So I'd say those are the top two.
Chad Ruder, NFL Media, joining us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The Commanders have the 29th pick, and the number one storyline with them is whether or not they're going to be able to trade back. What's your general philosophy on teams wanting to at the end of the first round and then some of the complications therein?
Well, it just depends on whether they're going to take themselves out of the running to get one of their true first round grades. I mean, there's 32 first round picks, but there's only usually 18 to 22 true blue chip first round grade prospects. So if they have a chance to get one of those guys, moving out gets more difficult. But if they can maybe make a deal with somebody early in the second round, late in the first round. The Eagles are going to want to move up. The Chiefs are going to want to move up. And depending on what other teams do, they may even want to move up one or two spots to get a guy. And maybe Washington can grab a fourth or fifth round pick out of that kind of deal. So there's not too many trades from the second into the first round. But that is a possibility, possibly for a quarterback. If Jackson Dart falls into that late first round category, maybe one of these teams early in the second round makes a move for him. So there are some possibilities there, but it doesn't happen as often as you would think, because teams, again, even at the end of the first round, they want to get that one guy that's still left on their board with a first round grade.
Obviously, guys will slip through the cracks here and there, and the third rounder, fourth rounder, the fifth rounder turns into a star. But just kind of thinking about the normal run of things, what's the gap between Ashton Jeanty, who obviously is consensus number one running back, should be, in my opinion, he's really, really good, and say the running back that you could get in round three, four, or five in this particular draft?
I think it's a pretty large chasm. I don't think Evel Knievel could make it with a motorcycle over that chasm. I think he's legitimately the top guy. He's a top five, if not top three prospect in this draft. We've seen what Saquon Barkley did. We've seen Christian McCaffrey when he's not hurt, how good he's been. And a guy goes in the top five regularly as a running back. I think there's a pretty large gap. Still, you can find good backs in the third, fourth, and fifth round. It's not that, but he's a difference maker. And I think, he's going to go. He's not going to make it past the Raiders at six, for example, if he's still on the board.
How egregious a pick would it be for Washington to take Travion Henderson at 29 in terms of where you think he's going to go?
I wouldn't say egregious. I would say maybe optimistic in terms of relative value.
Where it makes sense.
I think that's more of a 40 to 60 range kind of pick to me. Again, because he's not, it's Jeanty and Omarion Hampton. If they were to somehow get Omarion Hampton, then great. But then Henderson's a good back. Don't get me wrong. He is a good back. But I don't think he's, it's difficult to know without who else is available there, right? But I wouldn't, if everything played out correctly, then maybe I would say, hey, not a bad pick. But if one of the safeties is still available, if an offensive lineman could help them, another edge rusher could help them. I mean, there's a lot of other areas where there may be better value and they can get that running back a little bit later.
Do you think either Mike Green of Marshall or Donovan Ezeraco of Boston College will be available at 29?
Dude, that's who I have them taking in my latest mock draft is Ezeraco. I think that makes a lot of sense for them. You know, we know Dan Quinn likes speed, and, you know, he's needs it badly. And if Ezeraco, if there's one thing he could do is he can go after the quarterback. Great spin move. Not the tallest, biggest guy, but he is he's a difference maker on the edge. And I feel like that's a really good fit for that team.
Chad, I always like to ask people this who cover the draft. Who's somebody you like better than everybody else, and who's someone you're a little bit lower on than everybody else?
In terms of, let's see, who would I like better than everyone else? I don't know that there's a guy that I love. Okay, so a lot of people don't have Emeka Buka from Ohio State, the receiver, in the top 20. A lot of people don't. And I think he is getting the same kind of unfortunate label as a slot receiver that Justin Jefferson did coming out of LSU. And it really has no... it's really based on the fact that he was forced to play there at Ohio State because of first Marvin Harrison Jr. and then Jeremiah Smith came in as a freshman and was superstar downfield threat. But I think Ibuka can do more than being a slot receiver. So I think I'm higher because I see more potential than maybe others. As far as a guy that's maybe down the road a little bit more than others, I don't know. Some people were putting Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M in the top 10 for a while. I mean, he's explosive off the ball, but a guy, and look, it's not just about stats. I mean, you have 4.5 sacks over 3 seasons. That's not great if you're supposed to be an elite edge rusher, but you have to look why. And the reason why is because he wasn't able to chase down quarterbacks as much as you'd like, and he wasn't able to quickly change directions if they got out of the pocket on him. And that's an issue for me. But if you use him correctly, he could be a good player. But, you know, putting him that high and do it was a little too much for me.
Call your shot. Shedeur Sanders goes to
the Raiders.
Raiders
at 6.
The Raiders
at 6. Yeah,
a lot of people are penciling that in.
I haven't seen that much. Yeah,
that's kind of unique.
Well, and here's the thing: like he plays behind Geno Smith for 2 years, makes all the sense in the world. He's known Tom Brady since he was a kid. He's worked with him on the field and off the field, and I had Eldale. The Raiders love names. Mark Davis loves names. And who knows if he had conversations with Deion Sanders about being a head coach of that team, you know, at some point in the last couple of years. I know he's been there and they've had some discussions. So, like, there's a lot pointing in that direction. If Ashton Gentry's there, that might change their mind. But if Gentry's gone, and there's a decent chance he's gone, then I can see them going that direction.
Jackson Dart, first rounder?
Yes. No question in my mind that he'll be a first rounder. It's just a matter of how high he goes.
Jalen Milroe, first rounder.
I don't think so, but it would be very interesting if Washington gets some calls late in that first round to see if Cleveland or the Giants or somebody wants to move up for him.
Good information, Chad. We're looking forward to Thursday night. It's almost here. Thanks for hopping aboard.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on.
You got it.
Thank you, Chad.
Chad Reuter of NFL Media. You can check out NFL Network's coverage of the NFL draft. Starts at 8 Eastern on Thursday. It's live from Green Bay. I actually really like that the draft now travels city to city. I think it's added a lot to the event. When they first announced that, I thought it was unnecessary, and I'd kind of gotten used to it. I went to the draft many times in New York when they had it at Radio City Music Hall as a young guy, and I really liked it. Good atmosphere there. It was fun. But I actually think it works.
Yeah, smart for them to do, too. Right? Too many of the leagues, I think it just feels sometimes like it just revolves around for basketball, for football in New York, for hockey, it's Toronto. So doing stuff like that where we're not just going to do it in New York because it's New York, it makes it feel a little bit more, yeah, that's as a reminder, you small markets, you medium markets, everybody, it's not just a New York showcase, and I think other sports could benefit from that too.
I think the best player in this class is Abdul Carter, and what's going to be interesting is if he actually falls to 3 and the Giants get him. Be a massive win for New York. They would have kind of stubbed their toe and accidentally, I think, fallen into a wonderful situation. I really like Travis Hunter as well. Let's say he goes 2 to Cleveland, though. The winner of those top three picks to me is the Giants. Cam Ward at quarterback out of Miami to Tennessee is a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. They still need their passer of the future. They've got an offensive-minded play-calling head coach who came over from Cincinnati, having worked with Burrow in Brian Callahan. But, you know, they need to give him a kid to work with at quarterback. So that to me, is easy. That one you just kind of take out of the equation. But the Giants sitting pat and getting Abdul Carter is kind of, you know, fortuitous gift for a team that's done a lot of things dumb for a long, long time.
Yeah, just by staying put, right? I mean, they gave a huge contract to Brian Burns. They've got Kayvon Thibodeau still under contract, who missed a bunch of time. And, you know, non-playing Washington division, I would say, has been something of a disappointment in terms of some of the production. But looking at it, yeah, you get a guy that maybe you don't need desperately, but is so good, you just say, that's fine by us. We'll take the best player on the board.
I don't see Shador to the Raiders. Reuters studies it way more than I do and is way closer to it all. But that one doesn't make a lot of sense. I think if Genty's there, they take him. Now, if he goes to Jacksonville, let's say at 5, then all of a sudden 6 becomes really interesting. But I still don't see Sanders after they just went out and brought in Geno and paid him money.
Yeah, so he's got, in his latest mock, he's got Genty going 4 to the Patriots, which I've seen no smoke on. He's the only one there. Mason Graham goes 5 to the Jaguars, and then Sanders 6 to the Raiders.
And Schefter, for what it's worth today, who's plugged in at Michigan and, of course, all over the NFL, did say he doesn't think the Jags take Mason Graham. But, hey, it's that time of year where
everybody's
is
lying.
In disagreement. Yeah. Adam Peters speaking with the media today ahead of the NFL draft. You'll hear from the Commanders GM next on Grant and Danny.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
friends in D.C., the Caps. Congratulations on the win last night. Congratulations to our friend Spencer, and best of luck to them and Ovi. That was incredible last night. I've become a huge Caps fan since I've been here, so best of luck to them.
Very well done by Adam Peters.
Tip of the cap,
synergy
sir.
Across town between the Commanders and the Capitals. Of course, Jake Irvin, Mackenzie Gore, I mentioned, bumping into last night. They were on the glass, rocking Caps gear as the Capitals went up 1-0 on the Canadiens. But speaking of Adam Peters, he and Lance Newmark met with the media today out in Ashburn, and they went into detail on their draft plans. Here's how it sounded.
Really fun, exciting week for all of us in the building for the draft. But then also, it's really cool. All the players are back. So everybody was sitting in these seats right now. I think you guys are in Jaden's seat. You're in Bobby's seat right there. And so we got a big crew coming back. So ton of juice in the building. As you guys can see, a lot of cool things are happening around the building with the construction and everything. So really thrilled about all that. A lot of good stuff coming down. And then this weekend's going to be a lot of fun, too, with the draft.
John Keim, ESPN. Looking before we turn to this year, looking back at last year's class, because as Dan said, you know, guys take that year one to year two jump, and with only five picks, a lot of the improvement is going to come from that group. So I'm curious if you could talk about it. Both you guys could talk about a couple guys in particular about the expectations for this year: Jerzan, Ben Sinnott, and then Jordan McGee.
Yeah, those guys. It's cool that you asked about those three, because all three of them have been here working in this building for quite some time. You know, even we just started today with the off-season program, but they've been working their tails off really for the last couple of months. I see them in here almost every day. So really excited about each of their future. You know, they're the right types of guys. They're the guys we want. They're Commanders. Yeah. And so I think you'll see a big jump in each and every one of those guys play this year.
Yeah, I would echo that. They're three guys that are extremely dedicated to getting better. Like you said, they're Commanders. They've worked really hard this offseason to improve, you know, physically, mentally, every part of the game. They want to be contributors next year, and they're doing everything they can to do that. So they're definitely wired the right way, and they've worked really hard to be in position to do that.
And I'm also curious, for Adam, like, what has been your experience going when you're trying to vet a guy that has a quote-unquote character concerns? Like, what's the process you go through to come to a conclusion that, like, okay, he's good or they're not so good? You know, what kind of research do you put into that, and, you know, how do you get comfortable with the decision?
Yeah, that's a great question, excuse me. And it really starts with the scouts, and that's where, like, all the hours that they put in and all the information, all the people they talk to at the schools and the players' hometown and everywhere else, they dig up anything they can to find out what makes each of these guys tick. And so you say a character concern, and you know, we drafted a guy in San Francisco who had character concerns, and he turned out to be one of the best players at his position, one of the best teammates I've ever seen, one of the best locker room guys, and just an outstanding human being. So you got to be careful where you get that information and who's giving you that information, and know your sources and all of that. But each character concern is really case by case, and you really figure out what the incident, if it's an incident, what it was, why that happened, find out all the information from them, from everybody you can, in order to make the best decision for your team. So, and there's a wide spectrum of character concerns. From, you have off the field things, you have football character, there's not really character, but then like mental and learning that you look into. So all those different things play into it, but everything's case by case, and try to get as much information as you can.
With only five picks going into this, are you hoping to trade back?
Well, we talked about this at the owners' meetings a little bit, and you're really open to everything, and you're open to moving up if the right move's up. If Abdul Carter falls to 27, I might want to try to move up too and get him. but I mean, if there's a great player that we want to sit and pick, we'll do that. But if there's an opportunity to move back, then we're certainly open to that too. You know, with five picks, like you said, that's something you'd like to do, is add picks. But you always have to have somebody who wants to come up too, and we'll find that out. We're making those calls this week, and we'll have an idea of who wants to come up, and if we want to do that, and we'll also have an idea of who wants to move back in the first round ahead of us, and so we'll know what we can do there.
I believe last year you indicated that if a player you're taking in the first round, you'd like them to start and have an immediate impact. Along those lines, are there positions that you typically don't like to draft in the first round? I mean, do you usually like to stick to premium positions in the first round, or is it situational?
I think you could really go anywhere in the first round. Last year we went quarterback. I don't think we'll do that this year, but I think what we've done is we've made ourselves given ourselves optionality to pick anywhere. So I don't think we have a philosophy of going premium positions or quote unquote premium positions in any round. It's really just trying to pick the best commander for us that's going to help us the most.
David Aldridge with The Athletic. I'm wondering, I know every year is different. Every team's built organically. You can't depend on what happened 2 years ago or 3 years ago. But the fact that you all did have so much success bringing in guys on short contracts, bringing in veterans on short contracts, does that inform you at all in terms of perhaps we have the right group of people here that can utilize veterans on short deals to continue to build the team and allow us to not have to necessarily have 9 picks every year in a draft to build the team quicker?
Yeah, I think, I think getting, it's all about, a lot of that's about opportunity. And if you can get guys on longer contracts, obviously you'd like to have as many picks as you can. But the way we're structured currently, we'll have to do that for a little bit and do these 1 year deals. But I feel really good about our staff, our scouting staff, and our coaching staff identifying the right guys to get on those 1 year deals. And a lot of those guys we brought back this year, which really proud of and really, really glad that we brought those guys back. So I really have a great trust in those staffs to be able to identify those guys. And, it's not something you want to live and keep doing over and over and over again, but until we get a really good foundation of draft picks throughout over the years, we're going to probably keep doing that. And as long as we bring in the right guys, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years in a row, we've gone to the combine with our roster in the high 40s, and we've been at the draft in the 70s. So, we've really been productive in those 60 days, 2 years in a row. And I think every time we've brought somebody in, we've had a plan for them. Mm-hmm. It's been sincere, like, hey, we think this guy's a chance to do something here. Mm-hmm. And going back to your original point, I do feel that we have a great foundation here in terms of getting people into this building and maximizing what they have to offer in terms of potential and helping them reach their personal best. I do think it's a really good environment for people to develop.
Ben Standing with The Athletic for both of you guys. Last year you guys drafted, of your 9 players, 7 were team captains in college. Obviously, you clearly like the what comes with that, the leadership and so on. But now that you have a year into this, culture set and things along those lines, to some degree you're always building. Is that as strict of a situation? Is it like, hey, we've got to get guys who are captains? Or is that a little bit less so this year because you already have a bit of a baseline when it comes to culture?
I think you're still always looking for those types of guys, no matter what. Now, the draft isn't always going to fall that way, but I don't think we're ever going to waver from the types of people we want to bring in this building. And whether they were captains in college or not, I mean, whether they are leaders or not, quote-unquote leaders, people lead different ways. But we're just going to try to bring in good people. And so if they were captains in college, that's great. That shows you something. But if they weren't captains, that doesn't mean they're not leaders and they can't become those and can't become the types of guys we want in our building.
And in terms of the edge class, obviously you guys have done in free agency, you've got a rotation pretty much everywhere. You could say we can play tomorrow, so I get that. But in terms of the edge class, is there anything in particular you might be...
You took my answer.
Yeah. Any in particular you might be looking for? Obviously, you guys were a little bit deficient last year against the run. You also lost Dante Fowler, get more sacks. Is there anything you kind of looking at with that group in particular that you think you guys need more of this year?
Yeah, it's a deep class, which is cool. There's something, I think, for everybody, whether you're a 4-3-3-4 team or multiple. There's guys that are great against the pass. There are guys that are really good against the run. So whether you're taking that high in the draft or somewhere deeper, there's going to be some good players there. So that, along with a lot of other positions, will be open to taking. And I think what's cool is even though we have some really good players in each of those rooms, whether it's edge or O-line or corner, which I'm sure you guys are going to ask about that too, but we have really good players, but we really – DQ preaches competition. So those guys are going to come in and compete, and the best guys are going to play. And the more good player – you can't have too many good players in a room, I guess.
Scott Abraham, ABC7. Last year versus this year, how much more comfortable – do you feel, Adam? Obviously, last year was your first NFL draft of running the show, and now here you are, your second year. Just kind of take me through the mindset of maybe the differences last year versus this year.
Yeah, well, we've done everything once, so that's good. Understanding all of that. We're in a different draft room, which is cool. It's better now. but I don't think there's a whole lot different, to be honest with you. I think there's always – I don't ever want to be comfortable or relaxed. I always want to have a little bit of an edge and make sure that, you know, we're crossing every T, dot, and every I, making sure we're leaving no stone unturned. And what I do love is the people we're working with and the coaches and the coaches and the scouts, the way they work together, the way they really pour everything into it. Even after a long season, the coaches turned the page and jumped right into it. And just the teamwork, the camaraderie, and just another year of doing that together. Everybody knows what to expect, so you're not teaching everything for the first time. So I thought the process was really good this year, and we'll continue to tweak it and get it better, but certainly pleased from where we're at.
This is the first time in a long, long time the quarterback question has not been asked during a NFL draft process. What is that like to solve that starting quarterback position? How does that open up a draft in a draft board for you guys?
Yeah, that was I think that's every team that wants that, right, is to get your quarterback. And so we feel great, not only about Jaden, but about the whole quarterback room. And we feel awesome about that room. And so now, I mean, how it opens it up, we don't have to look for a quarterback anymore, which is cool. But really just looking for ways to support him and the rest of the team and make him better.
Lake Lewis, CBS 6 TV in Richmond. Last year you made a trade with the Eagles, and now that's a team that you're going to have to try to get through to get to where you want to go. Does it change this year for you if that call were to come from them as far as possibly trading or any team in the NFC East?
Yeah, that's another really good question. You think about that, but I think it's like a lot of things, case by case. And what is the trade? Is it the best move for your team? And you know, can't do. I don't personally believe in you know, being scared about trading with a team within your division. If you think the trade's a good value for you and you can get some good picks to help your team get better, then definitely consider it. Some cases it won't be. And so some cases you think, all right, maybe we don't want to do that for whatever reason, but I don't think that we'll ever shy away from that, taking those calls. And a lot of times you'll have a lot of picks on, you know, or a lot of trades kind of lined up. And in that particular instance, the Eagles trade was by far the best trade in terms of value that we got. So we made that trade.
Sam Fortier, Washington Post. How much do the coordinators factor into your decision making? By that, I mean, you know, hey, we spent a lot of resources to go get a couple top line guys for Cliff. Maybe we should use the top pick for Joe. How, if at all, do the coordinators factor into your decision making during the draft?
The coaches are really involved. The coordinators are really involved in the draft process. And so when we're going through our draft meetings, you know, every position we go through in offense, Cliff is in there meeting with us, which is, you know, it's a long, long time for a coordinator to be in a meeting room. And then for the defense, Joe's in there. So they both give their opinions on really every player that we talk about. And so they put a ton of work in, and they do a great job of teaching us their vision for the player. If there's a player they really like, or the player that maybe they think is a good player, but maybe we don't have a vision for them, or they aren't the best fit for us. So really constant dialogue between those, you know, during those meetings, and then really from those meetings when they finished up last week until Thursday night and through the weekend, just understanding, okay, what do you think here between these two guys? And, you know, we'll come to a decision all together, but their input is you know, really important for us.
Thanks, guys.
General Manager Adam Peters, his assistant Lance Newmark, the media out in Ashburn ahead of the NFL draft, which kicks off 3-day event on Thursday with round one, then Friday rounds two and three, and then Saturday rounds 4-7. You just heard from Peters there. We've talked a lot on this show over the last week about what we would do. Let's actually talk about what we think the team wants to do, what they are going to do if we had to make some predictions. We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with Family Carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
This is some basic characteristics that you kind of look for in just about any football player of any team, right? But you're really just seeing the competitive spirit of a lot of the guys we have. The guys, I mean, you throw in like Frankie Louvu's competitive spirit, you know, Bobby Wagner's professionalism, his consistency, his leadership. You know, I can go down the line, but I think there's so many different things that really go into that, and it's not a one size fits all. I don't think either. But the guys that are great competitors, that are great teammates, love football. And I think those are probably the three biggest factors that would go into it.
That is Adam Peters, GM of your Commanders. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Daniel, we've talked about what we want Washington to do. Let's talk about what they're going to do. Right now, this moment, what do you think their plan A is with the 29th pick?
I think they want to trade back desperately. I think that's like priority one. Now, you don't do it just to hear yourself make a phone call or to just to consummate a deal, whatever, right? You do it because you think it's going to help you the most. I think they look at this group of who they might be, who they might be able to draft between 20 and 45, 20 and 50. It depends on, I'm just sort of making up nice round numbers. And they go, I'm making this up. Landon Jackson at 43 with an extra third is worth more to us than Ezeraku at 29. Whether you agree with that or not, I'm just saying, I think that's their perspective. I think they would rather have multiple shots at this thing because everybody in this range, I don't think they view as special. Now, that's not based on talking to them because they're very tight-lipped, but that's just sort of based on consensus with this draft. Who knows? I mean, eye of the beholder obviously matters so much. You could fall in love with prospects. And you heard about, in one of Peters' answers, talking about how this, you know, it's so collaborative and scouts are on these guys. And then you have guys with conviction. So it always happens kind of throughout that somebody might be stronger on somebody for one team than maybe somebody else. But to me, I think they want to trade back.
So I think they are very willing to trade back and they'll be happy to do so. But I think they want to find their top pass rushing edge in this draft. I think their sincere hope is that their guy is there when they pick at 29. Now, who that guy is, I'm not very sure. I'd imagine it would be either Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College or maybe Mike Green from Marshall. Now, Mike Green from Marshall's probably not going to be there. At 6'3", 250, having led the FBS in sacks in 2024 with 17, I think he will be long gone by the time they're picking, maybe 10, 12, 14 picks earlier. He could hear his name called. Ezeraku, we just heard from Chad Reuter this hour. He's got mocked to Washington. I think he could be gone as well. 6'3", 248, really rangy, you know, edge defender, guy who can be slippery, hard to get your hands on, has some speed coming around the edge, had a huge year with 16 and a half sacks this past season, very, very productive. I think maybe it's one of those two guys. Perhaps it's somebody like a Nick Skorton or a Shamar Stewart, but I think they have penciled in edge, and they're hoping one of those guys is there. You can't force it, though. If the right player's not there, you've got to move back. I think they'd be very content to do that. Do you think they'll actually be able to trade back? Because while we've disagreed on, you know, at 29, how likely it is to get it done, I think it's actually a great spot to move back. The problem is they're not alone in wanting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very real possibility that they don't find the dance partner because they'd have to take 80 or 90, maybe 95 cents on the dollar. And so they just stay put. The edge is gone. And now maybe the most likely possibility is you have to pivot and go, say, corner or another position. And a lot of the experts we keep having on are saying that corner spot with someone like Will Johnson from Michigan or Max Hairston from Kentucky, you know, that could actually be where the value is right there if you're just playing the board.
Yeah, again, that's if seven or eight defensive ends go.
It means, or it even means, five, and it's four of the guys you really want.
Fair
wanted,
enough,
you
know yeah. And you have a do not draft on Pierce. I'm just, again, I'm making that up.
Yeah,
right?
They have not really shown, according to reports, like as much interest in Pierce with the interviews and the things that they're doing as some of the other guys. Maybe that subterfuge, we don't know.
Right, exactly. I mean, again, they try to keep it close to the vest, unless they're at two and they're picking guys up from the airport and taking them to Topgolf. But everything else, I think if they, I don't think they'll be able to trade back. Well, I don't be able is the wrong word. I don't think they'll get the deal that they want to be able to trade back. I don't, again, I don't think they're going to do it just to hear themselves do it. I don't see enough teams wanting and having the steamies to move up. I think that you'll get your standard call. I'll give you below value to move up four spots so we can get an extra first, extra year for a first rounder on somebody, be it a tackle, an end, maybe a wide receiver slips or a corner or maybe, maybe Milrow, a quarterback, something like that. But to me, I think they're going to have to end up sticking there at 29 and letting the board come to them.
You know what's getting, I think, more likely, or at least maybe the chances aren't changing, but I'm becoming more open to it and expecting that it becomes a possibility the closer we get to the draft is safety. I don't necessarily believe that they have to add a starting safety because you have Quan Martin, who's an ascending, young, terrific player, and they actually signed a projectable starting safety in free agency, so you might have two there. But after losing a really important player in Jeremy Chinn last year, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot of safeties off the board. So I don't know what that looks like, but let's say, you know, they really like Malachi Starks from Georgia or Kevin Winston from Penn State or, I don't know, Amanori maybe goes. But, you know, one of the safeties right at the top is sitting there staring them in the face and they have a first-round grade and they think he's the 12th player on their board. I could see a world where they possibly go safety. We will continue to talk draft here in a moment. I want to discuss, you know, earlier than Washington at 29, where the possible spots where those edges come off the board are. But also, next on Grant and Danny, the Nats are welcoming the Orioles to town. They're a little over an hour and 15 minutes away from first pitch over at Nationals Park. They're giving away James Wood bobbleheads. Going to be a great crowd at the ballpark tonight. Where are we at, State of the Union, on this rivalry between Baltimore and Washington with the Masson dispute resolving itself? You're listening to The Fan.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.